Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to my next episode of the City Confessions. Today I have two special guests. I have the co-founders of Swoon, Jennifer Ross and Christina Ross Blank Fine. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
And shout out to Krupa Consulting for connecting us. America and Annabelle are the best. I love them so much. And yeah, so thank you so much for trucking along in this crazy gloomy weather. It's Thursday evening, and I really, really appreciate your time here.
We're excited to be here.
It finally feels like fall, so we're happy.
Yes. Okay, so before we begin, why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell me a little bit about Swoon?
I'm Jen.
I'm Christina, and we met through a mutual friend and really connected again in business school.
And Swoon is the first zero sugar, all natural, simple syrup so that you can sweeten all of your beverages from morning, noon to night. And we started it, I'm type 1 diabetic, so it was always looking for something that didn't have sugar in it, because sugar is, I mean, my body doesn't process sugar, but the reality is sugar is not good for anyone. And always felt like I was missing out in those moments, like as a kid at birthday parties, you know, when people were having the lemonades, the chocolate milks, but even, you know, as adults and like in business school where Christina and I met, people were going out for drinks and it would like reach for that, you know, really like beautiful pink drink and be like, oh, this is so bad, and settling for a vodka soda. But realizing that, you know, sugar is bad for everyone. It's not just type 1 diabetics. But the best thing is that we are in a category that's very fun and very fun to talk about. And we can enjoy it with coffees, teas, lemonades, and cocktails.
Yeah. And I think also just current day, everybody is really into health, which is great. Yes, a part of it is trending due to social media. But I think people are just making more of a cautious decision to put healthy ingredients into their bodies. And so yeah, Swoon is amazing. And what is your relationship, I guess, with health and wellness?
Very much what you're describing. Yeah. I think is, as you're saying, we all kind of in our bones know what are the right and the wrong decisions to make on a daily basis about what we consume. And sugar for us, as you're describing, isn't really trendy in the way that some other health and wellness new ideas and new ways to approach it are, and that we all know that sugar tastes amazing and makes us feel amazing when we're doing it. But immediately afterwards, there's definitely regret. And we all know that it's just not great for our bodies. And so for me, it's much more sort of armchair wellness to come at it and say, man, I know that if I just cut sugar out, I'll be in a much better physical state. However, I love the feel of sugar and I love the experiences and the celebratory moments that go along with it. And so we really came at this saying, can we have it all? Can we basically say, let's really have all those exclamation moments in our life and feel no regrets and feel like we're making good decisions. And so that's where Swoon comes in to be that sort of daily companion of sweetness that hits all of the health goals that we all have of having pure ingredients and just better for you products that we're consuming.
So I know that the sweetness comes from monk fruit. Mm-hmm. Can you describe to the listeners what that is?
Sure. So monk fruit is from the Lohan Guo plant, and there are things in it called mogrosides, which are 200 to 300 times sweeter than sugar. So it has that perception of sweetness for a very small amount. And, you know, as a diabetic and, you know, as anyone, you really look at things of having a glycemic index and how does it affect mm-hmm. your body. So Swoon has no glycemic index, whereas sugar and, you know, has a high one, agave, all the other sweeteners out there also have that are kind of different forms of sugar, have a glycemic index that your body just reacts to is sugar.
So how does that differ from stevia? That's like the only natural sweetener that I'm familiar with.
So for us, it really is about taste. It's like, okay, you know, you want to enjoy what you're drinking, right, whether it is like your morning coffee. Like I love a nice coffee. Like even though when I wake up, I'm super tired. Like it's kind of like it's, you know, a little perk in the morning. Right. Or when it's a cocktail. And the reality is we just didn't like the taste of anything, okay, that was out there. You know, sometimes it, you know, I feel like there's a licorice-y aftertaste. So that's on the taste side. A lot of the other sweeteners also use sugar alcohols, which can have some, yes, GI issues.
Okay.
And we don't have any sugar alcohols in Swoon.
Got it. I'm just putting the ice down. I feel like it's melting. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit. And can both of you guys just tell me about your background?
Yes.
Not only in like where you study and what you study, but maybe like where did you grow up and what is your relationship with New York City, since it is called the City Confessions?
Yeah, so this is Jen. So I grew up in New York. So,
okay, so you're a native.
I'm a native New Yorker.
So wait, where?
I grew up on the Upper East Side, which is so funny because now like I go to places that I used to think was such a far trip. Like, you know, the subway down to Soho was like essentially like going to like the suburbs or something growing up, because it was, you know, more than like a 10-minute, you know, bus ride, yeah, away. So I've lived here my whole life. I went away to school, but then came back here.
Oh my God. Don't you feel like you're a unicorn though? Or not really? Because I'm also a native, but I didn't realize how rare it was until recently. Like I started to meet people and, yeah, they would ask me like, oh, did you grow up here? And I would say yes. And they would be like, that's so amazing.
Can I touch you?
Or yeah, they're you? Like, wait, what? Because everybody either leaves or comes, right, you know, moves here.
No, it's so funny. Well, I mean, I think it's twofold. One, because New York is so amazing. So many of the people I grew up with came back here. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice that they're still here. So I see them a lot. So when I'm with them, it doesn't feel so of different. Course. But then, yes, I feel like so many times we're like, wait, you're not real. Like, oh, so you're from like, you know, around New York. I'm like, no, actually from
in
the city.
Right.
So yes, I do agree with you that it feels a bit like a uniform, yeah, sometimes.
And then did you ever get into Gossip Girl?
Of course. I loved Gossip Girl. I still went by the Met the other day and like, obviously, yeah, it's not the first thing I should think about.
Right.
But still remember watching,
yeah,
the show.
I was in high school when that happened and like I would go like run home. So it was, mm-hmm, like what, Mondays, I think at 8 p.m. And I would just try to catch every single episode. So shout out to Gossip Girl. What about you, Christina?
Definitely a curvier path than both you and Jen. I was born in Miami. My father is Spanish. My mom is Cuban. And that's where they met. My mom is a native Miamian. And then we lived in Gainesville, Florida, which is North Central Florida, while I was in elementary school. And then we moved to Boston for middle school and high school. And then I stayed in Boston for college and then moved to New York after college. Lived here for a few years, moved back to Boston for grad school, and then moved back down to New York after grad school.
So
it's a lot of bouncing. It feels like back and forth.
But obviously Boston is kind of like our neighbor.
Yes.
So what made you decide to get situated here?
So my family no longer lived in Boston by the time I went to college.
Okay.
So in terms of family roots, I didn't really have that many. It was just my nuclear family that moved. So I think that probably would have been persuasive for me to stay in Boston. But I think probably things that you all, even as native New Yorkers, still get kicks from, which I think it was the energy and just the variety of options, both in terms of work and in terms of things to do, mm-hmm, and people to see that New York has. I think that sort of big city, yeah, pizzazz and energy definitely drew me here in the first place and has kept me here since.
And speaking of the energy and the variety, is that like your most favorite part of
New York? Yeah, I think so. I think one of the things that I love about New York is I love to explore all sorts of different ethnic cuisines. And I think one of the coolest things of New York that's unique to it is that you can really have the street food to the Michelin starred version of pretty much any ethnic cuisine and feel like you're traveling the world and really get that texture that you don't get in other cities. Just, I think by virtue of being so big and it attracting so many people who are trying new things out.
And do you agree, Jen?
I mean, the food's amazing, yeah. I think. And definitely it is the energy. I think the thing that I love about New York, that I almost didn't even realize until I was, you know, in LA recently, is the fact that you can just walk outside and be doing errands yourself and be surrounded by so many other people that you're never really alone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always just be literally no matter where you go, there are people around you. And that's just what I love. And I don't think you appreciate until you go somewhere where you have to get in your car to basically do anything. You don't have to have any plans in New York to still be around millions of people.
I was just in LA last week. It was my first time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, first of all, the traffic, I didn't know it was that serious. You know, people say
everyone
that.
Says it, totally.
I'm like, whatever. You guys are exaggerating. No, I landed. Yeah. And I think my Airbnb was maybe 30 minutes away and I was stuck for like an hour plus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And then on top of that, as a New Yorker, I walk everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean like I have walked all the way from like Central Park to like the Lower East Side before, just like casually. Mm-hmm. And in LA,
you can't.
But I was like, maybe we can walk a little bit. Like you
know, because you're walking on freeways.
Like you physically can't. And I was like, wow, this is like, I love LA, but New York is, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And it's all about lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I think the other thing too, the variety for me that's interesting is there's such kind of professional diversity as well. So one of the things I always tell friends in my pitch to move to New York is I'm married and my husband and I are in totally different industries. And yet it feels like no one's compromising. We found, Jen and I have found such an amazing ecosystem of food entrepreneurs in New York City alongside so many other places in the U.S. But New York in no way feels like a compromise in pretty much any industry that you're in, which means that socializing with people is always intriguing because people literally do different things and you can easily run into people who are at the top of their game in all sorts of different fields and learn from them. And I think that that's also extremely cool of New York. And I think creates a lot of new ideas and opportunities where you can cross pollinate that way.
Is that how you guys kind of started Swoon, or how did you even like come up with the conversation about starting a business together? Because I know you guys both came from finance, correct? Or like working in
finance.
Yes.
In some ways, I feel like we came at it as consumers. So when you ask, you know, what are...
Which is like the, I guess, the key to making a business, right? You have to find a issue and to solve it.
Totally. We really came at it because Jen came over to a dinner party at my house. As I mentioned, I'm Cuban. And I was like, oh, I got this. I'm going to make mojitos. That feels totally appropriate. And she came over a little bit early to help me out. And as I'm sort of making this pot of boiling hot water and about to pour in a beaker full of white table sugar and looking at my diabetic friend, I'm thinking, okay, definitely miscalculated the situation, but also I'm grossed out about the fact that I'm about to pour in a cup full of sugar to make a handful of drinks. And so we left everything where it was, turned off the stove, and went to the grocery store. We went to Whole Foods down the road from my apartment to see if we found better options. And in not finding them, searched a little bit deeper online, et cetera. And then we really thought, okay, does it not exist because it can't be made? Should we try to make it? And then that's where we sort of fell into it. And we really focused first and foremost on the taste. Our first thought was, if it doesn't taste fantastic, then it doesn't matter, because all of us can make these sort of switches for a second and make these health choices for a very short period of time, but you're not going to keep it. You're going to always go back to the thing that makes you feel good. And of course, we want something that is a really sustainable lifestyle switch for us and for others.
And when did you guys launch? This year?
This summer in July. Oh, so it's very new.
Okay,
recent.
Great. Yeah. And then is it just you? Like, how big is the team? Tell me about the whole structure.
We have a team of 11 now, which
okay.
is crazy.
Yeah, is it growing?
Because it feels like yesterday where it was just us in our apartment making things, trying things ourselves. And so it's been really exciting to add different people to the team. I think we always feel like the team is what makes coming to work so great, what makes us successful, and always wanting to bring in people that know more than we do.
Yeah. And I know that you guys are in some New York City spots, which is amazing. I have 11 Madison Park, which is delicious, and Cafe Clover, which is one of my favorite places. So how did you guys, I guess, partner with these restaurants, and how do you go about choosing which ones to kind of, you know, do this with?
Yeah, I mean, for both of them, we really focused on saying, like, you know what, your people, your clients that are, or customers that are coming in, want better for you options, whether it's the food, but obviously they care about the taste. And I think Cafe Clover, you know, they took a stand on their menu saying, we're going to serve better for you things across the board, but it still wants to be fun. Like going out to dinner, going out to lunch is a fun experience. You're going with friends, you're going with family. And what was really exciting for them is they actually took Simple Syrup off their menu completely and replaced it with Swoon. And they said people should not have to have any cocktails with all this sugar, which is what we believe. And with 11 Madison, we gave them actually lemonade and just had them try it and didn't even tell them what it was. Because as Christina said earlier, it really is all about taste. Like it has to taste good or no one's going to have it. Yeah. Like you can maybe have a sip, but at the end of the day, you're going to go for something that tastes that you want to enjoy.
And speaking of lemonade, we're going to make some now. It's kind of funny. Do you guys know what like ASMR is?
No.
No? Okay, I don't know what it stands for, but it's like a huge thing on YouTube where people love like sounds because clearly they can't see us right now, but like the cracking of the ice and like the pouring or like the the sip, they love it. It's like therapeutic. Oh. It's weird.
Well, I do like seeing all those videos of the paint strokes.
Yes, that are just it's getting like swirled that.
Or so this is kind of frosting to a cake. I find it extremely.
So we're going to give you guys a little ASMR right now. Okay, so we have cups, right?
All right, so you're making it.
Okay, great.
This is the deal is that we want you to see how easy it is. So not only do we want it to be delicious, but we want it to be super accessible for everyone to be able to make it. So it's. We've just basically cut up some lemons and you're just going to squeeze
half a lemon. We literally do this at our desks all day.
I'm squeezing the lemon. All right, cool. I'm going to dump this in this one.
Okay.
And then should I put it on
this? Then it's equal amounts of this. So you can just sort of eyeball it.
Wait, equal amounts?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a little.
It's just a little bit.
Just a little.
Oh.
Yeah. You can always add more later.
Just for a taste.
That's
good. There you go.
Oops. Okay. So this is the syrup.
Yep.
Yes.
And then go ahead and pour water about halfway.
Okay.
There you go.
And then an ice.
And then throw in some ice.
Okay.
I never know how to take off ice.
Okay, guys.
Okay, swirl it around a little. All right, and give it a swig. So it's equal parts water, equal parts lemon juice, Swoon, and then four times the water and an ice cube, and that's it.
I wish you guys can see my face. It's actually so good, and I don't really like sweet things, and this is, like, perfect.
Yeah, it's we really want it to match sugar in terms of the sweetness. So, obviously, you were asking about stevia and good, keep going. But we wanted it to be the sweetness of sugar. So it wasn't that sort of cloying, extremely sweet sweetness. And this is what, talking about Cafe Clover, they bottled it and they're selling in the shop and it did so well that they actually put it on tap. So,
we've seen
big success with them. Yeah, they've been amazing partners. My sister-in-law told me that she walked in this weekend and she said, and they were wearing a Swoon hat. I don't know. They saw us looking at the Swoon. I was like, no, how could they possibly know the connection? Like, yes, let me give a little cheers for us and the sales team.
That's amazing. And then I also like that you can kind of adjust it. I just put more water just because I just wanted to see it. And it's still sweet, but like subtle. But then I can obviously add more. Right.
I mean, so, I like things sweet, so I use a lot of Swoon. Christina doesn't. So, you know, we can both be having lemonade. Mine's super sweet and hers isn't.
Yeah, this is great. Also, I'm having like a game night next week.
Oh,
so
done.
I'm going to put
on
my cocktail.
Here's the real kicker. It's the best thing to do is before anyone comes over, exactly the recipe that you just did.
Okay.
Make a huge pitcher. And then you can have whoever wants to drink, put some vodka in it. And whoever doesn't want to drink will have it out. And everyone's drinking the same thing. And you as a hostess had a very easy hack to have homemade drinks.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be like the best host.
There you go. See, and people always just have this sort of like wide-eyed fairy tale wonder whenever we tell them because we all love lemonade and we all accuse all this nostalgia. And I think sugar in general makes us feel like kids again. And I think that's part of what that like hug in your mouth that we all crave of the sweetness. And lemonade especially does that. But we don't drink lemonade because it's, you know, can be 40 grams of sugar in one serving, which is crazy. It's almost double what the World Health Organization recommends for a single serving of a day for a woman. The whole thing is blown times two in the lemonade.
That's crazy. But it tastes so good.
Yeah,
you have to try it, guys. I'm going to leave all the information so you guys can go buy it. Okay, so I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you guys what keeps you up at night. I know it's like a generic but also like heavy question and weird. I don't remember the last time somebody approached me and said, what's going on? Like, what's keeping you up at night? And you guys don't know me either. So it's kind of like like I'm a stranger. But I always like to ask this because I think it's important for us to kind of just relax and reflect, you know, 5 minutes and just really be in tune with what's happening in our lives. And you guys can share whatever is going on, whether you're stressed or not. And you guys can be living your best life. That's cool too. And it can be related to swoon or personally. So either one of you guys can start. Jen or Christina.
I am 7 months pregnant. Yes. So I have a lot of keeping me up at night on the pure physical hormonal level. It turns out pregnancy is also code for insomnia. But I will say, I would say the things that I think at heart, I'm somebody who turns things over in my head over and over and over again. I also have two little kids. So a lot of the things I think about at night probably fall into the two different camps of, is everything under control and going well? And are we growing all the ways that we can at work? And similarly, are my kids growing and developing in all the ways they can? And am I doing enough to give them the right supports and environment to do so? So I think I basically bounce between back and forth of, am I a good enough mom and am I a good enough leader at work? And probably replay the day and replay the following day on loop in my head.
And just a follow-up question, because I actually also have a friend who was on this podcast. She is a first-time mom of twins.
Oh, yeah. That's overwhelming.
Yeah. And she was just telling me just like her struggles. And I'm not a mom, so I don't know. But she, yeah, was going through like postpartum depression and just like all these other issues. And I really wanted to ask you, since you already have two children, like, do you think it's possible to achieve balance? Or do you think it's more of like a concept that's just we're always constantly trying to, you know, grab, but it's not actually possible?
Balance in terms of?
I mean, your own definition.
Yeah, whether it's exactly. I think that's sort of my answer is, I think balance meaning what? I think one of the things that I struggled with when I had my son is that you almost, which was my first child, you have this conception of all these life milestones of what they look like either from people, you know, your own parents or your friend's parents or movies or books or whatever sort of feels a little bit arm's length, and then you become one. And I think it took me a while to realize that being a mom for me meant more being Christina than it meant being a mom with a capital M, if that makes sense. And then I think some of the things early on that I worried about or stressed about balance-wise in terms of, am I still being a good wife to my husband? Am I still being a good team member for my team at work? Am I still being a good daughter? Am I still being a good friend? All of that, probably the answer was like, eh, at the time. And I think it took me a while to say, it's okay if at different times you're excelling in different times, in different parts of your life versus trying to be excellent at all of them all at the same time and allowing yourself to focus on different pieces and sort of whatever needs the most attention or wherever you're able to have the most impact in that moment, and think that balance is more of a marathon over lifetime versus balance having to be an every single day affair.
It's really interesting. I think what you just said is actually usually my definition. Like, I've always been trying to achieve balance in all segments of my life, and I feel like my goal or my, I don't want to say definition of happiness, but would be to feel like my social life, personal life, and professional life aligns. But maybe that's not possible.
Right. Or I think the other thing, one of the things that I was talking to my husband about this the other day, I think one of the things that I've also thought is that becoming a mom, and I have to ask my team this specifically, or Jen can answer this for me right here on this spot. I think becoming a mom has allowed me to let go a bit more in terms of the standards I set for myself personally as well as professionally, to say you don't have to get everything perfect, perfect, perfect all the time, and to be able to call on other people more and trust other people more and let other people in a little bit more, because there is something about parenting that you realize, like, as much as you want to have full control and be able to guide and perfectly script the life for your child, there is no way in hell you can do that. They are people too, and they are not machines. My mom told me that very early on when I was complaining that my son slept perfectly one night and then totally not the next night. She was like, yeah, but like, you do that too. And don't hold your baby to this sort of machine standard. And I think having that feeling with my children has allowed me at work to let go a little bit and to, I think we've grown faster and been better because more people have decision-making power and more people have authority and more people's ideas are really carrying the day than just mine or Jen's.
Okay. And Jen, do you have anything to first add to that?
Yeah, you can be like, no, yeah, Christina.
No. I think that's definitely true. I mean, I think no matter what it is in your life, being a mom or anything, obviously you're going to have learnings that kind of bleed over into other aspects of your life that you just couldn't before because you haven't experienced different things. So I definitely think in working with Christina, that is definitely been true. I am not a mom, but currently my dog has decided to wake up in the middle of the night. So she is the one that is keeping me up at night. But you know, really beyond that, I feel like I go between thinking about like worrying about the next day some nights or worrying about like a year from now. Like, where am I going to be, you know, work-wise, where's the company going to be? What are we going to get done? Where am I going to be personally? And it's like no rhyme or reason if like the night is going to be like, okay, worry about the immediate or like worry about 6 months from now.
So you think that worry or has to do with the fact that we are living in New York? Because like, again, going back to the fact that you are native, like we grew up in this environment where it's so fast paced. And if you kind of don't go with the hustle, you get left behind. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, it's ingrained in us to constantly think about the next step.
I think that's probably true. I think that there's a good and a bad about that. I think there is a good thing about having a hustle and always thinking ahead, but I agree. I think it's fair. I have a very hard time turning my brain off. And I think that, I don't know if that's living in New York or if it's just who I am.
Right.
But I do think being surrounded by so much energy, so much stimulation all the time, you're always thinking about different things. And I think it is very hard to kind of just to take a step back.
Yeah, for sure. And then can you guys tell me, how do you guys split the work? Or like, what are you, yeah, like, is one of you guys like responsible for X and the other is Y? Or like, how, what is that like?
So in theory we have, I think okay. Though on a daily basis, it doesn't always look like this, but I do this, Jen, a lot of the finance and operations and Christina does the sales and marketing. But okay. The reality is we do what needs to get done and, you know, we think about things very differently, even if we ultimately get to one decision. So on big decisions, really collaborate across the board.
And I'm really curious to know both of your morning routine. I feel like obviously it's different because
because I no longer have to set an alarm clock.
Christina is a mom, so that's, yeah, it's totally different. So, but yeah, just walk me through a typical, I mean, it's probably not typical for you. It's probably varying every single day. But maybe like today,
probably
what was your morning
thing? But yeah. So I do no longer set an alarm clock. I am still not a morning person. I really thought for so long I will be so much better and so much more successful. And everyone who's so good at life is a morning person. I've had to let go of that fantasy for myself. I thought being a mother would turn me into a morning person. It still hasn't. So I definitely am woken up by my children. My son sleeps in my bed, which is definitely not what parenting books of 2019 tell you to do, but I am okay with it and I actually adore it. And then my daughter is on the monitor. So I either get woken up by him or her probably around 7 a.m., which makes them both pretty good sleepers as it were. And then kind of you're off to the races. So it's hugs and cuddles. It's maybe a book. It's my son now wants to play with my daughter, which took us a while to get to. And so, you know, you're on your floor, on the floor in your pajamas, and basically the school day or the start of the nursery school day keeps us on pace. So then it becomes some mix of breakfast, pajama, taking off and getting dressed. They both come and get dressed with me. So I definitely brush my teeth and then brush their teeth in the bathroom
blow dry my hair as they both brush their hair out. I can't remember the last time I went to the bathroom alone. And then I'm not huge into breakfast, but I do oftentimes have, like this morning, Jen got me hooked on some cold brew at home with Swoon. And I go full fat regular dairy milk, which I know is probably less trendy now. And then we are out the door and we take the one train to school.
And then you go to work?
And then I go to work. Okay. So yeah, so my apartment, school, and my office are all on the one train. So if you ever want to have breakfast, Marianne, let me know a place that's on the one train. And I will get off the one train and pick you up there.
And then what about you, Jen?
I'm also not a morning person. Like, I snooze every morning. Every night before I go to bed, I'm like, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to snooze. And that rarely happens. But I get up, I walk my dog, I feed my dog. I really have made it a ritual of making iced coffee in the morning. I have iced coffee like
even in the winter?
Even in the winter.
Oh, you're like one
July,
of my friends.
January, it really doesn't matter the time of year. And it's been, I used to always kind of get it on my way to work, but now I make it at home and I kind of do it literally before I put my glasses on in the morning. Or, I mean, before my contacts, definitely need to wear my glasses. And you, again, like Christina, iced coffee, a little bit of Swoon and some milk, and then walk my dog, feed my dog, shower. And no matter what, I'm always racing out the door. But I would say recently that I've added to my morning routine is I've been listening to NPR in the morning because
amazing.
I'm always like trying to read the news on my way to work. But it's like, wait, I have this like 20 minutes when I'm just like brushing my teeth, getting ready. Like I could be consuming something.
Right.
So that's been a new nice addition.
Yeah. Wait, so you're also on the upper...
I'm downtown. I'm in
Tribeca. You're downtown.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking one train when you were saying like all the way.
I'm on the downside of the one train.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does Swoon have an office or are you guys?
We are in the glamorous area of very far Midtown West with the land of car dealerships.
Is it like near Hell's Kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's north. I would say it's like a broker would describe it as Hell's Kitchen.
Okay. That's funny. Okay. So the last component of the segment is what is your confession? And it can be anything. It can be something silly, something serious. And I always like to say that a confession is different from a secret in the sense that it's secretive, but there's an urge to kind of reveal it. And you guys can complete the sentence of my confession is, and then
So very apropos to this segment, my confession as a native New Yorker is that I sometimes do dream of living in the suburbs, which I love New York. So like, don't get me wrong. Like I absolutely loved it. Love it. I loved growing up here. But like, I sometimes think it'd be really nice to live like on a cul-de-sac in the suburbs somewhere.
I agree.
But I feel bad saying that and embarrassed.
I know. That's why you don't say it. But
it's a confession.
No, but I totally understand what you're saying. So I love traveling. And I think whenever I have the urge to get out of the city, because obviously it's like too intense, that like traveling satisfies my fantasy of living in the suburbs or like living in a different country or a city. But after a while, I feel like it's nice to call New York City home. Like it's nice to be like, I'm going home. And people are like, where's home? And you're like, oh, New York. You know, like
I agree. There still is like I still have that excitement. Like when I come home, I was just telling Christina, like when I, you know, coming home from the airport, seeing the city skyline, there is still that like excitement.
For
in
sure,
I'm like okay, this is where I should live.
Yeah, but I also think it's well, I don't know about for you, but like for me, it's like me growing older, and I grew up in the Lower East Side, and that's like the best neighborhood, but also like so chaotic. It was like where all the bars are at. And now I can't do it anymore. You know, I'm like not made for that. And I do dream of like I want a family and kids. And I'm like, I don't know if I can have that. Like, I mean, I could have in the city, but it's nice to have it in kind of the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I used to hate Long Island. Now I'm like looking into Long Island.
You're like, I get it. I get what people
know. I know. I'm like, ooh, now I get it.
I will say my husband is a native New Yorker and I always used to laugh at him because whenever we leave the city, he'd be like, isn't this place so great? You get into your car, you go to the grocery store, you just put everything in it. I'm looking at him going like, if this is what vacation is, like the highlights of vacation for you, like we could just move.
Yeah.
We do not.
This is like this everywhere else.
Yeah.
Everything except what you, where you live. Like we, this is doable.
That's so funny you mentioned
that. An achievable dream.
Yeah. I just met this girl. She's from Westchester and I visited her. Like I took the Metro North, I think. And then we were driving and I was just so shocked. Like just exactly what you were saying. Like we were driving and we were like near Connecticut and I was like, oh my God, we are so close to like Connecticut. This is a nice drive. And she's like, we do this every day. Like you're so weird.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's like our lifestyle and the way we grew up really affects our mindset and perspective. And it's really interesting. But
wait, I really wasn't, I don't know why I wasn't prepared for this despite the title. I would say my confession is that after being so long of not necessarily having a go-to exercise and doing only walking and feeling like that was sufficient, this third pregnancy has made me say, I think it's time for me to start exercising. I think I would genuinely feel better if I did. So
how?
Here's to the new year of going to the gym or finding an exercise that I can really get behind.
How old are your kids and how many years are they apart?
Two-ish years.
Oh, okay.
They won't be two-ish years.
Oh,
apart.
Wow.
So
that's
just
amazing.
Over, just shy, yeah.
Okay, cool. And you like...
And I feel like I like run around after them and like you're saying New York is such an outdoor place that you walk, mm-hmm. walk. But
I also think being a mom is...
But
it already has fitness
in
itself.
Time. I feel like if you're asking about balance,
right,
I feel
it.
Like the piece that I've always sort of been trying to get balance over these last 4 years... kind of neglected in and been it's been easier to manage not having it is maybe I need to do a couple of things that are good for my sort of mind, body, and soul and on my own and sort of develop again that inner life that can easily slip away.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I always like to wrap this up in a positive note. So my second to last question for you guys is what is the one thing you love most about yourself? I know, I can see Jen's face like, what the hell are you asking me? The reason why I came up with this is because I think, again, we just go about our lives and we never even compliment ourselves or be like, you know what? I'm awesome today. And like, this is why. So think about all your amazing qualities and just reflect. And then just like, yeah, just look into, I guess, your best qualities and just tell me what is the one thing you love most about yourself. Silence.
This is a hard one.
It is hard.
I know, I feel like I'm doubly stumped now.
I'm the
well,
same
I'll,
way
I'll
though.
I'll say, but... I don't know if I don't know if this is aspirational or real, but I think I at least really enjoy connecting with people. So I, a lot of what you were saying and what inspired you to start this podcast resonated with me. So I think I'm pretty good at it, but I certainly really enjoy connecting with people and hearing about their stories and learning from them.
Okay.
I think on those same lines, being empathetic of, you know, when I'm talking to people, yeah. really able to kind of put myself in their shoes and thinking about where they're coming from. And I think, you know, there's a difference being sympathetic and empathetic. And I would like to think I'm empathetic and hopefully my friends would agree.
Yeah. Those are amazing qualities. I just want to take a moment now to acknowledge you guys and thank you so much for coming again in this gloomy weather. You guys could have easily canceled and I wouldn't have been mad. And you're also pregnant.
Now you tell us.
No, you have to reschedule. And Christina, like, you're pregnant, so I
no,
really appreciate
very
it.
Forward to it.
And yeah, again, going back to like what you guys are both saying, you being empathetic and you being good with connecting with people. I think that's why it's like it's so hard to like – I don't want to say get people on the podcast, but it takes a certain personality and person to say, you know what, yes, just say yes. You know, like you guys don't know me or didn't know me and you guys took time out of your day. And what I realized from doing this is that time is so, so valuable. It's so valuable. So when somebody says yes to you, that is like a gift. So I do want to thank you guys for being here. I really, really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
of
us.
Of course. And I want to ask, my last question is, what do you guys have in store for the rest of the year, for 2020? Tell me about Swoon. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any secretive things going on, but what can people be on the lookout for?
Well, we're very excited to roll Swoon out and continue to roll out a zero sugar platform. So be on the lookout for lots of other fun things that are happening.
very vague, but exciting.
And that's I think it's new places to find and new ways to have products that are delicious and really have that sugar kapow feeling without actually having sugar in them.
Amazing. And can I keep this?
Of course.
Well, now you need it for game night. Yeah, I know, I do. Okay, thank you so much for being here again. I will leave all the description below to where to buy Spoon, more information, and to follow you guys.
Our website, Amazon. Yeah, you got it.
The whole shebang will be in the description.
Yep.
All right. I hope you guys enjoy this episode and stay tuned for the next one. And thank you guys again. All right. Bye.